Aloha. It's a privilege for me to introduce Alex Pacheco, who will be speaking here at New Hope. I knew Alex before he knew me. That's right, over 25 years ago, and he was old then. But actually, his wife came to New Hope before Alex did, and she'd come up to me after church, and Berna would say, "Pray for my husband." And I'd say, "Well, you know, tell me a bit about him." And when she'd tell me about him, I thought, man, he's a pilau baga. He was a fisherman and was a tough cookie. And after she would tell me about him, we'd pray together and ask God to save him. And you know, it wasn't long after that before Alex would come, and we actually recruited him to help lay down boards, actually these Masonite boards over a gym floor, because that's all we had to cover the floor that we were using at this Boys and Girls Club and for our church services. And so he would come to help, and through that, God just involved him right into the church and right into the kingdom of God. God used him in great ways to touch on people's lives, because shortly thereafter, he became a care group leader, and then the overseer of care groups, and then came on staff, then became a pastor out in the Pahoa area over one of our New Hope churches. And then we brought him back into New Hope Hilo, and then now he oversees the Hawaii district for the Four Square Churches, the denomination that we come under. He's got a wonderful heart for Jesus and a wonderful heart for people, and we go way back together. So it's a great joy for me to introduce him and to ask if you would give him a great and warm New Hope welcome. Would you welcome Alex Pacheco?
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having us here. So you didn't get caught in the traffic like all the other services, right? Yeah, you're here. It's great. Pastor Wayne and I go so far back, and there's so many wonderful memories of us serving Jesus together. And I am just so thankful that God had him in my life. I mean, although he didn't get the story really correct, you know, what he said about me, but that's okay. He can do that. Not too long ago, my wife and I was in Costco in Kona, and I saw a young lady with her son, and she was kind of looking at me like she knew me, and she was smiling. And so when we passed each other, she said, "Hi, Pastor." And so we talked, and I just greeted her, and then as we parted, I heard her lean over and said to her son, "Joey, that's Pastor Wayne Cordero." I don't know what it is. Must be the Portuguese blood or something that we have. But I don't know if that was good or bad. But I think and I've also had people say, "Hey, you're the guy that is on TV, yeah?" And no, not me. But we go way back, and we're good friends. And we one of the things that I've learned about during all my years walking with the Lord is that it's not about a church name or a denomination. We are Foursquare, and I oversee the churches, but and the Foursquare helps us to stay accountable so that all of our pastors are preaching the word right. How many of you want your pastor to be preaching the word right? Yeah. And that we're doing everything legal, because churches need to be legal. And so we have that covering. But it's not about a denomination as well. It's all about Jesus. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out that it's not the name of a church or anything, but it's or a denomination. It's all about Jesus. And I hope that you agree with me that we all serve the King. Yeah. And this is where I got my title this morning of the message. What on earth, right here, is God doing? Because God's doing something. I watched your website last week, and Pastor Wayne was commissioning out Pastor Elwin and starting another church here in Honolulu. And I know that then whenever there's change like that, there's sometimes discomfort, there's sometimes just an uneasiness, because in Hawaii, we're all family, we're all ohana, we just want to be together all the time. But then God is doing something on this earth, and he's birthing churches as well, so that these churches can go out and reach other churches. I remember when I went out to start the church out in the Puna area on the Big Island in Pahoa. Boy, I miss the mother church. I miss having all the fun times together. And but there's a purpose, and that's to reach people that didn't know the Lord out in that area. And so there's many people in Honolulu, they still need Jesus. How many of you agree we all need Jesus? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Yeah. And so I want to maybe talk about three things today. The first is, what on earth is God doing right here? And the Bible is very clear about that, that God is building a kingdom. And it's called the kingdom of God. Anybody heard that before? There's scriptures that say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we pray the prayer that is called the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But for many of us, because we are Americans, this is a hard concept to grasp about kingdom, because we live in a democracy or a republic. And in Hawaii, we have forgotten, because in the old days, we only know what history and our kupunas tell us, and that is that there was kings and queens, and there was majesty and royal families in Hawaii in the old days. But because of our age and we only hear these things, we cannot it's hard to understand it fully, what a kingdom is all about. So what is the kingdom of God? Again, the Bible is very clear. And if you take out your outline, there's an outline in your bulletin that you can follow along with me in the scriptures. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is the plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure, and this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Now that's the plan that God has for history. The kingdom of God is God bringing everything under the authority of Christ. The kingdom of God is composed of everybody who does God's will. The moment that you accepted Christ into your life, you became a believer, you chose to step across the line, you said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. He's my Savior. I'm going to follow God's plan for my life. And the moment that you did that, you became a part of the kingdom of God. Anybody knows where the kingdom of God is? Is it in a location like New Hope Hilo, or New Hope Puna, or New Hope Hawaii, or New Hope Oahu? Or is it in Baptist, or Catholic, or Foursquare? I'm going to give you the answer, because nobody's saying, I know the answer. And here is the answer. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. Get it? Good. Some of you remember. Get it? Got it? Good. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. And so if Jesus is king in your life, then the kingdom of God is within you. It is not a political kingdom. It's not a culture kingdom. It is not a national kingdom, because those things come and go. We see those things come and go all the time. The kingdom of God is going to last and overcome every other governmental organization, national organization, cultural organization. Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Everybody put your hand right here. The kingdom of God is in your heart. And that's why your heart is so important to God. And when is this going to happen? Because climax is, you know, the Bible is saying that history is moving towards a climax. And that climax is coming with the kingdom of God. So when is it going to happen? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, "The good news about God's kingdom will be preached in all the world to every nation, and then the end will come." Now, as a pastor, people ask me, and I'm sure they ask your pastor, this very question. When is Jesus coming back again? When is he coming? What are going to be the signs? Well, if you read in the New Testament, the signs, how many of you have kind of noticed that we're getting earthquakes and storms and all these kind of things happening now? Well, these are signs of the end times. These are signs. But what would be the most important sign? The one that we really got to pay attention to. And that is the sign that he's going to come back, Jesus. When he comes back is when the good news has been preached all over the world and to every nation. That's when he's going to come back. And you know that God knows exactly who is going to say yes to him? He knows that. He is waiting for them to come into the kingdom. The delay in Jesus coming back is for one reason: evangelism. If you want to help speed up this process of Jesus coming back again, then go out and start sharing Jesus. Start sharing the good news. Because the moment that the last person who is going to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when they say yes, it's all over. The history is going to come to a conclusion as we know it, and the kingdom of God is going to be set up. And Jesus is going to come back again. So that's what's up. That's what God is doing. He is building a kingdom. You know what else? Look at number two. How is he going to do it? Would you put there in that blank, through people? God has chosen to use people to build his kingdom. He has given you and I the privilege of being a part of his plan. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. We are God's co-workers. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 20. God made peace between us and himself, and God gave us the work of telling everyone. What does everyone mean? What does everyone mean? Oh, you sound smart. Everyone means everyone. So does that mean that lousy neighbor that you got? Does that mean that the hard people that you work with at your office? The boss that you work for? Everyone means everyone? Okay. So he's saying here, and God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have in him. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. So the moment that you became a believer, you have become an assigned agent. The Bible calls it an ambassador, a missionary. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Alex, I'm not a missionary. I haven't gone overseas. Well, you don't become a missionary by crossing the sea. You become a missionary by seeing the cross. Not by crossing the sea. When you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you, and the incredible benefits that it brings in your life, it makes you want to tell about other, you want to tell other people about him. Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. He's sending us out. And we get to be partners with God, which is going to outlast everything else. And there's nothing bigger. God says we get to be a part of this. How? How can I be a part of what God is doing? Well, number one, make it my primary purpose. Make it my primary purpose of my life. In Matthew 6:33, God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. In the New Century Version, it says, the thing you should want most is God's kingdom. So let me ask you, is that true with you? Is that what you really want most in life? God's kingdom to advance? Because what I think is, that's not true for many of us. Because many of us would say, what I want most is success. What I want most is happiness. What I want most is relationships, security, wealth, fame, on and on and on and on. And God says, those are secondary issues. I made you for my kingdom. I made you for my purpose. And if you just put the kingdom number one in your life and make it top priority, listen to this, here's the good news. All those other things that are secondary that we just talked about, God says, I'll take care of that. You won't have any needs because I'm going to take care of them. If you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. And it should be more important than all these other things. You know why? Because this is what you are made to do. You are created for it by God. And it's going to outlast anything else. And if you put God first, His promise to you is He says He's going to take care of all the rest. I love that. Romans 14:7. God's kingdom is what God does with your life as He sets it right and He puts it together and completes it with joy. You know, I love this verse. If you really look at this verse, before I became a Christian, you know, Pastor Wayne said I was on Pilau Baga. It's amazing that you never look at yourself in that way, but others can see it. Yeah. But giving my life to Christ, look at what this scripture says. This is what God does now when you give your life to His kingdom, to God. He sets your life right. He puts it together and completes it with joy. There's something that happens in your life when you're walking with the Lord, when you're walking with the King, when you're walking with the Savior, that He just makes it right. I hope if you would talk to my wife today, she would say, he's a better husband today. Yeah. My children would say, he's a better dad. Because he sets it right. And he puts it together and he completes your life with joy. See, the kingdom of God, if it's not number one in your life, then you're really not living. Your life isn't being put together. It's just falling apart. You're not living, you're just existing. You have to put secondary things on the side. And you gotta put God first in your life so that your life starts to get set right. Can you hear an amen to that? That's what God does for us by making that your primary purpose. The second thing that you need to do is pray for it. Pray for the growth of the kingdom of God. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're doing just that. May your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, if you really want to be a kingdom builder, I would challenge you to pray the same prayer I prayed, which is a very dangerous prayer, and it's only two words. And this is the prayer. Use me, Lord. Use me. When I prayed that prayer, boy, did He use me. My life changed. And you know what I prayed to? Anywhere, any place, anytime. And boy, did He change my life. Listen, if you are bored with your life, and if you want adventure in your life, I dare you to pray that prayer. Use me. Because God is looking for people that are His. He's looking for people that He can use. And so you say, okay, God, I'm available anytime, anywhere, anyway, use me. You pray that, and you pray for the kingdom of God. And then number three, you share it. Share it with others. Tell others about how much Jesus loves them. How He has a plan for their life. Tell them about the good news. You know what a lot of Christians say? They say, I cannot do that. I don't know that much about the Bible. like Pastor Wayne does or the leaders of the church do. I cannot witness. I cannot share my faith. I don't know that much. You know what I want to say about that? Yes, you do. Many, many years ago, I was out on my boat fishing. Many of you know I'm used to be a commercial fisherman, and that's what I did for my living. And Mike, who fished with me, he fished with me many, many years. And one day when we were out fishing, you know, it was that kind of day that you couldn't do anything wrong. You just send your line down and an ahi would bite your line. And you pull that ahi up, get him in the boat. Mike sends his line down. He's got one ahi on, he's pulling it up. And we're having the greatest time of our life. And I, because being a young Christian, I started to say, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And Mike is on this side, and he's hearing me, and he's saying, God, God who? This is good bait. And I thought, Mike doesn't know Jesus. And we've been fishing together all these years, and Mike doesn't know Jesus. And I said to myself, now who can I get to tell Mike about Jesus? I think I'm going to ask Pastor Wayne to come out fishing with us. But no, he gets sick. He turns green. He cannot do that. Who can I get to tell Mike about Jesus? And I heard that word, duh. But I cannot share Jesus with Mike. I don't know the Bible. I don't know this. I don't know that. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you know that God loves everybody? Yeah. How many of you know that Jesus loves them so much that he died for them on the cross? Now, this is everybody. Your lousy neighbors too. How many of you know that if you say to them, if they would only trust in him, he will forgive all their sins and they can go to heaven? How many of you know that? Yeah. See, he made it so easy for us. We don't have to be quoting scriptures to them. We don't have to be shoving Jesus down their throat and forcing them to come to church every Sunday. You're the church. You go to them and you love them. That's why the Bible says that love is the greatest. And you know what kind of love Jesus has for us? He's patient and he's kind and he's gentle. You know, if Pastor Wayne had shoved Jesus down my throat, you know what I would do with him? I would take him out way outside on the ocean. And I would say, swim, brother, swim. But he was kind, he was gentle, and he was patient with me. And so many times, because I remember I tried to shove Jesus down my children's throat. Okay, I wanted them to have Jesus so much that I didn't know how to give it to them in patience and kindness and gentleness. I remember growing up in church. My mother took me to church and I couldn't wait so that I could never go to church again when I could make my own decisions. Because all she did was pinch me every time I moved in church. Dressed me up with these bow ties that choked my neck. And what am I saying? I'm not saying don't tell them. I'm saying be careful how you share Jesus with people. Because they want to see the real Jesus. They don't want to see Alex Pacheco. They want to see the real Jesus. The Jesus that loves them no matter what. The Jesus that cares for them. The Jesus that died on the cross for them. And they want to know that they're loved sincerely. And so we must share what we can, and that is just tell people about the love of Christ. You and I can do that. God has called us to go out into your world. And at that time, my world was on the boat with the guys. They went fishing with me. You are responsible for your world. Not the whole world, but your world. He wants you to penetrate your world with the good news. You start where you are. You might be the only Christian in your workplace. You might be the only Christian in your neighborhood. You might be the only Christian that in the class that you're taking at school. And if you do not share the good news, who's going to do it? Who do you think is responsible for the people closest to you? Not somebody else. God is saying, I want you to be a kingdom builder. Sharing the good news with other people and sharing it with as many people as you can and as often as you can. You know this, everyone. What does everyone mean?
Everyone.
Everyone has a hunger for God. Everyone. Even the atheists. Even people that give you a bad time when you speak to them about Jesus. And they make all kinds of excuses. And they say difficult things to you. But everybody has a hunger for God. Because we are, as human beings, we are wired up this way. When they put their heads down on the pillow at night, the deepest questions of why I am here, where did I come from? Where am I going? Is there a God? Is there a meaning and a purpose to life? These questions are all spiritual issues. And people try to, all the time, answer these questions with other things. People try making lots of money. Some people, they try to get really popular, having one thrill after another, a pleasure in this and a pleasure in that, but nothing satisfies their souls, because everybody has a spiritual hunger for God. And all the governments and philosophers of the world cannot extinguish this hunger. Everybody has a hunger for God. Your next door neighbor has a hunger for God. They might not show it, but they got it. And that's at the deepest level. And you know what else? No matter who you talk to about the Lord, He is the answer. Jesus is the answer to their hunger. It's not any other religion or philosophy or rules and regulations and rituals. It is strictly a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you following me? It's all about Jesus. And only He can answer the deepest needs. Nothing else can. I thank the Lord for Him. And human kingdoms and human governments will rise and fall, because we see that all the time. But not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will last forever and ever and ever. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing can destroy. Let us please God by serving Him with thankful hearts and holy fear and awe. Nod your heads if you agree. The economy may fall. Governments may fall. And the world may fall apart. But not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God cannot be destroyed. And what a privilege it is that you and I, we can partner in God's kingdom. Partner is something that's going to last forever, something that we can depend on, something that is sound and secure and cannot be destroyed. And that's why the Bible says we have grateful hearts. Now I have one question then to ask you. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Who's going to be in heaven because of you? When you get to heaven, is there anybody that's going to be there because you cared enough to tell them? Because you're here because somebody cared enough about you to tell you. Somebody took the time to tell you about the good news. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? People need the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. You and I need the Lord. So let me ask you, who do you know who needs Jesus Christ? Is there someone that you know who doesn't know Christ and is headed for a Christless eternity. Don't just come to church by yourself. If you just bring your family and your Christian friends, you have missed the point. This church is the bridge between people that Jesus died for on the cross. And that's why we do this thing called New Hope. That's why volunteers and manpower is going on week after week after week, because we believe that this church is a place for new people to come to hear about Jesus so that they can accept him in his life. Can I hear a big amen to that?
Amen. Yeah.
You know, when I read the Bible, I come to the last book in the Bible, Revelations. I don't know about you, but spooky when you read Revelation. But there's some really great stuff in there. I'm going to read to you something about in Revelation that I found that you would love. Revelation 4, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And they will lay down their crowns before the throne, because the throne is where Jesus sits. And they will say, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it's for your pleasure that we all exist and were created." Revelation 5, verse 9. And they will sing a new song with these words: "You are worthy, for you were killed, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." You know that the difference between the kingdom of God and the difference between every other kingdom, and that is this: that the kingdom of God is the only kingdom where the king dies for its citizens, where the king sacrifices his own life for the citizens. Revelation chapter 5, verses 10 to 13. "And you have caused them to become God's kingdom and his priests, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked up again, and I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, 'The Lamb is worthy, the Lamb who was killed, he is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they also sang, 'Blessings and honor and glory and power belonging to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" I love to party. That's going to be some party in heaven. Singing, giving praise, glory to God. And that's an event that I am not going to miss, because I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. We're going to be up there partying, having a wonderful time. Can you hear an amen to that?
Amen.
But how much more better it would be if you and I were able to look into the crowd and say, "There's Mike." And Pastor Wayne would say, "There's that pilau bugger, Alex Pacheco." And we'd say, "There's our neighbor. And there's the guy I used to work with." Wouldn't it be wonderful if they were there because we told them about our King, about our Lord Jesus, and that we would put the kingdom of God as our primary concern on this earth, sharing, praying, giving, serving, doing whatever it takes, because it's the only thing that's going to count. And it's going to last. Look at the last verse on your outline. John chapter 3:3. "Unless you are born again, you can never even see the kingdom of God." Could you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to repeat this verse. "Unless you are born again, you can never even see the kingdom of God." I know that there are some people here that are visiting, or your friends, And you heard me speak, and I don't know how God does it, but he always speaks into the heart of people about this kingdom stuff. If you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that right now, because that's what gets you into his kingdom. You open your heart and you placed your hand on your heart today. You open that heart and you ask him in. He has made it so simple for us to do that. You don't have to attend classes. You don't have to go to church all your life to do this. This can be your first day in church. But if you would just open your heart right now and just say to the Lord in your own way, I want you, Lord, to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins, that I might have a brand new life. And that's what being born again is. You're having a brand new life in Christ. And now he's going to make your path right. He's going to make your path straight. He's going to make you a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better student in school, a better friend. And it's only by letting him do so. So with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if there's someone that would say, Pastor Alex, I just prayed that prayer and I meant it with all my heart. I want to be in the kingdom of God, and I'm asking him right now to let me be that. If that's you, would you lift a hand and just look up at me? I want to pray for you right now. I want to say thank you. God bless you, sister. Yeah, I see your hands. God bless you. Just hold your hands up. You're just reaching out and responding to the Lord right now. You're making the best decision you could ever make in your entire life. It's an eternal decision. Father, I pray that you will bless those that are responding to you right now. Show them how real you are, Lord. Help them with this walk. Help them, Lord, so that they can go out and reach others as well and be kingdom builders. Bless them, Lord, with everything you've got. Let them know how real you are. That, Lord, you keep your promises. If they put you first, you will take care of all their needs. We pray that, Lord. Head still bowed and eyes closed, you can put your hands down. Father, I want to thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the pastors and leaders in this church. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless them and fill them, Lord, with your knowledge and your wisdom, and allow your love, Lord, to continue to flow in this church. Thanks so much for loving us, that you sacrificed your son. One day we'll see him again. We are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Get it?
Amen.
Good. Thanks so much for having us here. God bless you.